we'll develop you and all these things. But he's like, first you need to eat some donuts. And I was like, ooh. Oh my God, this is like the first time in so many years
that anyone said,
please eat donuts. And I was like, weight. What is this acting thing? Can we figure this out?
Hey babies, welcome to the Dr. Beauty Podcast hosted by me, Dr. Anna Guanche. I'm so excited you're here. We plan to educate, inspire, and entertain you. This podcast is not just about beauty. It's about lifestyle, inspiration, life hacks, and of course, beauty. Welcome, baby, to the Dr. Beauty Podcast. Jessica Cook is with us, and she is a model, actress, opera singer.
Oh, gosh.
And a Vine star. We're going to make her sing.
Oh, no.
Don't tell her yet. Don't tell her. So, you just had a birthday.
I did.
This month. But you're not a Scorpio.
No, I'm a Sagittarius.
Sagittarius.
Yeah. I'm the fire sign. That's all I really know.
Wow. Yeah. You know, I'm a Scorpio. I just had a birthday, too.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you, too.
Oh, so sorry. Aww.
Did you decide to wear the same color as me?
I did. I had a feeling that you were going to be wearing red. Because so I wanted to match you because we're tall girls for life.
Tall girls for life. That's our hashtag, TGFL.
We're so tall.
Jessica and I decided we're tall girls for life. That's really hard to say.
It is.
Tall girls for life. What? A couple years ago. So now we have our own little personal hashtag that nobody knows anything about. But now you know about it.
Yeah.
So we decided to coordinate and match today, just so you know that we're on the same team.
We're on the same team.
If you want to join our team, you can wear red and you can use the same hashtag.
Right.
If you're a brunette with light eyes and you would like to wear red.
Please do that. I would love to see this.
And you have to be tall, though.
You have to be tall to enter the club.
That's right.
Because that's the whole thing about being a tall girl.
It's not the SGFL club. It's the TGFL
club. I don't even know what that stands for.
Well, the short girl for life.
Oh. See, I don't really know about short girls.
Or petite girl for life.
Petite girls.
No. Mm. I don't understand.
I can't relate. I don't know.
My last guess earlier today was 5'3".
Oh,
so
short girl.
I can relate to short people too. I'm not.
Yeah.
What do you call it?
Like short people.
Yeah, me too. I have a lot of friends.
I don't have anything against short people. They're just not tall.
Exactly.
They just stay in the office.
They just can't be in the TGFL group though.
No.
I mean, it's nothing personal.
Nothing personal. Not at all. Just wear red and be tall. That's all I'm saying.
So tell me, I did not realize you were a Vine star.
Yeah. So yeah, I started Vine, what was it, like 2012, 2013. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things where I found out that the app was really popular, just like Instagram or Twitter. And and I was like, what is this app? And it's a video recording, you know, content thing. And so I got on and I just was messing around. At that time, I was purely a model. And you don't really show your personality too much as a model. I mean, you're behind camera. It's just stills, you know. And so I went to Vine as more of like an outlet, and I just wanted to be silly and fun and kind of go down that rabbit hole. And so I just was, one morning I woke up and I saw this app. I was like, I'm going to do something really weird. And then it went viral, and I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. I didn't know this was going to happen. So I just had a lot of fun with it. Did a lot of like collaborations. This was like pre-Instagram Reels, pre-Twitter video. This was
pre-TikTok. Yeah.
I don't understand TikTok.
Really? I love TikTok.
You are amazing TikTok.
Its own energy.
You have to teach me.
I imagine Vine is like TikTok. I don't know why I imagine it that way.
It kind of is, but you have 6 seconds. It wasn't like, how long is TikTok?
Now you can go up to 3 minutes, but most successful TikTok posts, not that I'm like looking this up or anything, are between eight and 15 seconds. People don't have the attention span to watch a long
video. TikTok.
Yeah, unless it's like informational or that, you know, something like that.
Right. But. Yeah. So it was literally like a 6 second video. And I remember the first time it came out, it was so frustrating because you couldn't edit the video. So you would hold down the button to record, and then if you screwed up, like say if you did, you know, a segment here, and then you wanted to go into the bathroom, and you want to go across town and kind of like
do another portion,
thing, if you screwed up, you literally had to restart.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, oh no, I just was in downtown LA. And then you go to like Sherman Oaks and you're like, yeah, I have to go back to downtown LA if I really
do the first part of this
part again. But then as it, you know, developed and got more popular, they started being able to let you upgrade. Edit.
Yeah. That did that platform just went away, huh?
It did. I don't know what really happened. I think that the monetization and just so many influencers were getting brand deals outside of the app that I think maybe it just was like, well, we should have thought about making money through through these content creators. But I'm not really sure. I think they sold it to Twitter.
Oh.
And then Twitter had its own video recording thing for a while. But I don't think it's even a thing anymore. I think it's just all Instagram now and TikTok.
Well, and TikTok. It used to be like people would talk in Vine. Like people would just, anything somebody said, somebody would relate with like a Vine, a sound.
Right.
And now I feel like that's happening with TikTok, or maybe just to me. I don't know. But like everything, every song or every situation has like a little sound that you can like,
yes,
remember like or trends, tie into
right?
it. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it was very like a trend-oriented thing. Like if somebody did a trend, like do it for the Vine, and then they would do like for a month, people would do it for the Vine, whatever that trend was.
Right.
I noticed TikTok, it's the same sort of deal. Like people use the same songs,
dances. Same sound. Dances.
They dance a lot. This is how I dance.
I love the dances. That's how she dances.
That's how I dance. I would not be
Does that mean you're
going
to do a dance TikTok with me later after this thing?
You will. Sure, you will show me up. Like you will kill it.
No. We're going to do it together, the TGFL team.
All right, I'm down. I'm down for the get
Were you a cheerleader in high school?
I was a cheerleader.
Ha, how did I guess? She could totally dance. I was not a cheerleader.
Oh, no. I was it for like 1 year. It was like a rebellious stage of my life.
Rebellious?
Yeah.
Why do you call it that?
Because I went to a Christian university.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And I, for some reason at the time, I just was like, cheerleaders are very robotic.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
they don't really dance fluid like movements.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got into this like Christian university, I was like, I'm going to be a cheerleader. I'm going to wear a short skirt and like dance and have fun with it. And I was decent. Like I was like a bass person. So I would hold all the other cheerleaders.
The flyers.
Yes. I would like pop the girls up in the air and stuff.
Uh-huh.
It didn't take that much skill, just like a lot of strength. So that was my, you know, I did it for a full year, and that was just kind of what I did. Yeah
I mean, I kind of get what you mean by like rebellion, because I wasn't allowed to be a cheerleader. It was something I always wanted to do,
exactly,
but I was supposed to focus on my studies. And why are they wearing those short skirts? It's too revealing, and you know, right. all that stuff. So really it was something that of course I was dying to do because it was not allowed,
right?
And so that was like, you know, it was a perceived as sexualization of young girls, and from my family, my dad's very old fashioned. So
that was the same with my dad. Yeah. And so I just literally went home and I was like,
guess
hey,
what?
Guess what? I signed up to cheerlead. And he was like, what? I was like, yep, I'm a cheerleader. It's going to be fun.
You know, that reminds me, when I was in medical school, I was already in medical school. I tried out for the Saints to be a cheerleader for the Saints. I made it to the finals. I made it to the finals. And
so impressive.
And I had my number 17, which is my lucky number, on my that was my contestant number.
Right.
And I sat in the back with all the finalists while we were nervously waiting to do our final performance. And they were talking about, well, a lot, some of them already had kids. And I was just like early 20s in med school, and they were talking about how they'd had surgery, so they'd look good for this tryout and all this stuff. Not that I'm against surgery, you guys. I'm not against surgery.
Sure.
But at the time, I was like early 20s, and I felt out of my
element
totally.
Bit. Sure.
And I just ran. I left.
Oh,
I was a finalist.
Like at the finals?
At the finals. I had my favorite number and everything.
You were just nervous because of how everyone was like.
I was probably too scared to fail, to be honest. But I also felt like a fish out of water. And at the time, the girls were talking about the fact that they make $50 a game and they have to weigh in.
Oh,
no. They have to weigh within 5 pounds of what they weighed when they tried out.
I
and
could
they
not
have to
do
practice
that.
3 hours, three times a week. You're not paid for that, and you get paid $50 a game. Well, I was already a medical student. I was thinking, there's no way I'm going to have time to study.
You're thinking long-term. You're like, I don't want to make $50 now. I want to make thousands of dollars
later.
Yeah,
exactly, exactly. And, you know, smart. And a three-hour practice three times a week, and I was going to have to study. And then I also thought about the fact that, like, these guys, I just didn't seem like, this didn't seem like my crowd. Like, for at the time, I was like, what?
Right.
What? And then I also probably most importantly, I have to own up to the fact that I was afraid I wouldn't make it. I was like shaking like a leaf that I was going to go perform, because now they had narrowed us down from like 100 people to like a small number of girls that were going to perform the last thing and the judges were going to decide. And the girl told me, girl, you're beautiful. All you have to do is flip your hair right at the end and they'll teach you everything else. They'll take you. Don't worry. I was like, okay. Like, I was like, they don't care if I'm talented. They're gonna do weigh-ins. I'm going to have to practice.
Like, this is too much pressure. I can't handle this.
I can't do it. But I made it to like further than I ever would have thought at the time.
Wow.
And then I just ran away. I literally ran away.
I mean, it's
in my
smart,
little pink outfit run. With my hair all big. Gotta go.
And you were so tall, and they were like, we want the tall girl.
Maybe.
There wasn't very many tall girls on my cheer squad. I was like, there was two of them, and I was one of them. And I was surprised that they wanted me. I was like, I'm tall.
Like, what?
But there was another girl that was 5'10 as well. Uh-huh. And so they were like, you guys are bases.
So you
like,
two are the tall girls for life.
Yes. No, but we are now.
No, but us.
Yeah.
Never mind. Us. Who is that girl? Let me call her.
Her name is Caitlin.
Excuse me, Caitlin.
You're no longer a friend.
Stay in your lane.
Stay back.
Stand down, sister. Because you weren't there when we came up with our hashtag. And when you were around, there were no hashtags.
There were no. There wasn't any hashtags. 100%
true. 100%
true.
Well, actually, I don't know that. I don't know your age, but don't tell me your age. I don't want to know. I'm against ageism.
Okay, me too.
Because you look like you're 20 anyway. So.
We look like we're sisters. We could be
sisters.
Yeah,
we could be sisters.
So
big wink over here. So tell me, you know how to sing. Are you classically trained or?
Yes.
Opera singing, right?
Yeah. So I grew up singing and performing around my hometown of Northern California. Mm-hmm. I sang the national anthems and I sang, you know, in elementary schools and throughout school. I did little drama things and we did tons of different sing and dance performance things at our school. And then when I was getting all these different roles and solos and stuff within the church, I went to private schools. And my grandmother was like, we need to get you formally trained. Mm-hmm. I think she was just sick of like hearing me practice and was like, we can do better.
We can do better.
We can do better.
No, I doubt it. She just saw your potential, I'm sure.
She saw the potential, I guess. And so she took it upon herself to enroll me into opera, which is like so hard. It's a whole different type of singing. It's a whole different ballgame. And so I started singing opera when I was 8. And I just was like, the first song that I got was in Italian. And I was like, I've never even spoke like a lick of Italian in my life.
Mm.
But I was up for the challenge. And then, so my grandparents were really amazing and they really believed in me. And so they paid for me to get vocally trained by a bunch of different people. I went to different repertory theaters and I ended up singing in a few different languages and,
it looks like a few different languages, right?
I sang in 6 different languages by the time I was age 8.
Wow.
So, but the thing is with opera, you have to have a specific voice.
Uh-huh.
Like not everyone could just sing opera. The techniques and the within opera are amazing. Like Mariah Carey studied opera and she's got this crazy vocal range.
Incredible range, yeah.
So it teaches you all the amazing techniques you need to be a great singer or just learn how to sing effortlessly versus, you know, putting a bunch of effort into it.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. I can't relate. I don't know. I sing effortlessly in the shower.
I would love to hear that.
It's mostly rap.
Oh, that's great.
No, but I want to hear you sing. Will you sing for us?
No.
You won't?
No, the thing is, this is like many cigarettes ago. You know, like, I don't have that voice anymore. I know. I damaged my voice by don't smoke cigarettes. Don't do it. It's so bad for you. Or do. What, live your life. But
No. Listen, don't say do. Okay. Okay.
I lived my life. And yeah. I just I sang so much.
I mean, the cheerleading when you did that, rebelling, I was good with it. But the smoking, I'm not cool with.
Don't do it. It's not healthy.
I could totally see you being really sexy with a very slim cigarette. But just, you didn't hear me say that. And honestly, wow. So, but you quit already.
Oh, I did. Oh, okay. Yeah, it was a bad habit, but I quit, you know, a year ago.
Okay.
But yeah, if I wanted to get into singing again, I guess I could go through some vocal recovery and just kind of do that whole thing. But right now I'm like not, my voice is like not.
So now you don't want to do that and immortalize your voice on my podcast.
It would be awful.
No, it wouldn't.
Yeah, it would.
Fine. I really thought I was going to get you to do it.
We could dance, though.
Okay, we could dance. We should do a cheer, like be aggressive.
Be aggressive.
Yeah, see? Girls for Life cheer. Okay, so what projects do you have coming up? Do you have any projects coming up?
Oh, gosh. Or? I mean, there's one that I can't really talk about, but it was one I kind of...
Oh, is it the one that's just coming out? Yeah. You did talk about it. Shh.
Yeah, I did, but I didn't talk about it.
No, officially, legally. No, she actually didn't talk about it. Did you talk about it?
No, I didn't talk about it.
Am I talking about the same thing? Are we talking about the same thing? Are we?
But I just, my boyfriend and I, he directed this teaser that we're actually going to put up on Kickstarter. And it's a psychological drama about a psychiatrist that basically tries to find herself. And it's a really... It's very deep and symbolic, and it's really, it's just basically her journey about, you know, she's helping others so much that at the end of the day, she doesn't even really know who she is.
Huh.
And that's really conflicting, and that's terrible. So she goes on this journey when she meets this person that kind of puts it in perspective for her, mm-hmm. and she's like, oh my gosh, I don't even really know myself. So she goes on this really artistic dive of, you know, she goes on like an ayahuasca trip and meets a shaman, and the shaman's telling her to be free. She's a very mm-hmm. straightforward girl that's very uptight, orderly, OCD kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so the shaman brings us out of her of just like there's more to life than, you know, trying to make sure everything's perfect and everything, right. you know. And also at the end of the day, you got to know yourself in order to help other people.
That's true.
So I was like, oh, this is great. So he wrote that. Uh-huh. I was like, and he was like, do you want to play the main role? And of course I would
love
to.
So you're the psychiatrist?
I am.
I love it. I can totally see it.
Oh, thanks.
Being very serious.
Very serious. Thanks, man. I'm like the opposite of serious in real life.
No, she's very silly. You guys should follow Jessica on her Instagram. What's your Instagram handle?
Jessica M. Cook.
Jessica M. Cook. And you know what I love about it? You're gorgeous, stunning, and you have the most amazing photo shoots and everything, but then also you're silly and you let loose and you do funny things that are just goofy sometimes, and it just makes you more endearing, I think.
Thank you. That's how I feel about you, though. Like, I look at it, it's funny. I don't use TikTok. I don't really know how to use it, mm-hmm. but I literally go on TikTok just for your TikToks. Aw,
look at that. That's amazing.
It's so good.
That makes me very happy. Thank you.
Yeah.
I love TikTok. I hope it doesn't go away like Vine did.
I don't think it will.
I hope not.
No. I don't think that thing is
ever
going
away. Point of worrying about it, right? Isn't that what we're saying?
Live in
don't
the moment.
Worry about things you can't control.
Yeah.
But, right? I'll find something else. But anyway, yeah. So, no, I love your personality shines through on your social media, and the fact that you don't, a lot of times with models, they always have a posed picture and they don't goof off and they don't have range. But with you, there's like this whole extra dimension, which is to me the main dimension of just personality and a little irreverence and it's goofiness.
It's nice to see that when I have some model friends that are kind of venturing out into doing, you know, silly videos and just showing more of themselves versus like an edited photo at the end of the day. You know, like there's more to them than there are, you know, those photos. And it's really nice. I mean, that was the whole point of Vine was I would post these photos on Instagram and on Facebook. And at the end of the day, like, nobody really knew who I was. Mm-hmm. It was like I had these really edited, retouched photos of me. And it just kind of became stale after a long time. So when I started venturing out into Vine and doing these kind of videos, the opportunities came in different ways where, like, right. She actually has a personality. Yeah. Like, she actually talks.
And can speak. Yeah, yeah, that's very important too. Some people, you know, have more stage fright than others. And some people, you know, have trouble with that or don't know exactly what to say or what, you know. So that's an asset. That's something that it's important to highlight about yourself. So, yeah, definitely.
I just got bored of just taking photos. I was like, let me talk.
I have something to say. I have arrived.
Yeah.
I have arrived.
I am here.
So what is your goal to do more acting or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I made the transition a few years ago into acting, mm-hmm. and I love it so much. I think when I was scouted by an agent when I was modeling full time, mm-hmm. and I had just come back from Turkey. I had lived there for 4 months, and I was really, I was very skinny. Like a few years ago, what was really in style in the modeling world was like that waif look. And because mm-hmm. I was 5'10" and I don't really have any hips, mm-hmm. My agents wanted me to be very, very like stickly thin. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so by the time, you know, I came back from Turkey, I was like 95 pounds, 98 pounds. Wow. I'm 5'10". And this, my manager at the time, her friend was in the acting industry. And he was like, do you have any models that, you know, have personalities and would like to go into acting? We were trying to like build our board. And she told him about me. So when we met, he saw some of my funny videos and stuff, and he was like, you're really funny. You should go into acting and, mm-hmm. and we'll develop you and all these things. But he's like, first you need to eat some donuts. And I was like, ooh. Oh my God, this is like the first time in so many years
that anyone said,
please eat donuts. And I was like, weight. What is this acting thing? Can we figure this out? but yeah, so I hate some donuts and I went into acting and, I mean, it's so rewarding. It's so much fun. I just really love it.
I love that. That's your quote of the day. I ate some donuts and went into acting. I love it.
Life changing.
Because it's life changing, right? When you get to eat donuts. No, I'm just kidding.
When you get to eat donuts.
Personally,
your whole
that's
life.
My treat of choice if I were ever to cheat on my diet. That's donuts at my face. Right.
But up until that point, I just kind of felt like a stale piece of paper. Like I just...
Like two-dimensional, not as much. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I just, even hanging out with friends or whatever, I went through that whole, you know, really strict diet thing, trying not to put on any weight. And I just, you know, my personality, just who I was just blank. It was dead. And then when I met the donut guy,
you were like, you've changed my life.
You've changed my life. Yeah. I became happier. And so I don't really model as much anymore. I modeled with friends and stuff. But yeah, it's not my main bread and butter anymore. Mm-hmm. Acting is, and I really, truly love it. And so I do theatrical and TV and commercials and it's so much fun.
Love. So as a model and an actress, do you think that beauty trends are changing and, you know, is that something that you see in your industry? I mean, I see it a little bit, but I would love to have your perspective on it.
Yes, I think modeling has changed significantly from the time that I started. Mm-hmm. When I was scouted when I was 16 to go into the modeling industry. And I knew at the time for the first few years of me being in the modeling industry, it was always about being very, very thin. Mm-hmm. It was very Kate Moss vibes. Yeah. And now with Kim Kardashian and a lot of different social media influencers, even J-Lo, like all these beautiful curvy women are showing that it's okay to like have curves and be an actual woman and not look like a 14-year-old that hasn't even gone through, you know,
puberty yet. No, it's true.
Right. And so I think it's way better, the modeling industry, even the acting industry in general. You know, there's so mm-hmm. many shapes and sizes, and I think they should all be celebrated.
Yeah.
I don't think that, you know, especially with modeling, the thing that bothered me was that when the skinny, the waif look was in, was that you'd see the mannequins and they were very thin.
Right.
And it was, they were like hangers.
Yeah.
And then normal people or just people that aren't models would go in and try on these clothes and it wouldn't look as good as on the hangers.
Right.
Because everything was made for very thin people. It was like the industry and the designers and everything kind of forced us all to like try to be super thin because of the trend. So I'm really happy that people are healthy and, I mean, glowing and curvy and thin and big and whatever. I just love it now.
No, we've been noticing, you know, as far as I'm sure everybody's been noticing, there's different ages on the cover of magazines or different sizes or different shapes. And so getting to the point of accepting or normalizing what normal looks like and letting beautiful be a lot of different looks like a lot of there's so many different ways to be beautiful. People ask me all the time about the golden ratio, like what's the exact perfect ratio of a face, and the truth is if you chase that, it doesn't always make the face look better. It is
kind of makes it look more average at this point, huh?
Well, maybe a more average or just for that person, that's, you can't go by numbers all the time,
right?
There are certain proportions you can change and it makes the face look more beautiful, usually if you enhance what's already there and you kind of bring it up a notch.
Right.
That's what I like to do. But when people try to chase like numerical norms with the golden ratio, it doesn't always fit because there's so many different ways to have a beautiful face.
Right.
And so it's tricky when people try to box in beauty. Like, oh, only this particular weight and height can be beautiful. Only this shape, only this color eyes or whatever.
Yeah.
So I love the fact that we're branching out a little bit and
oh, me too.
And also making it easy on people because young women will always be hard on themselves, I think.
Right.
But like this doesn't give the pressure of the constant dieting as much as it was, you know, maybe during the Kate Moss sort of Twiggy back in the old days, you know, where everyone, the skinnier, the better.
Right.
And that's just really hard, I think, on people that, on so many people. That's a very small percentage of the population that has that.
You know, it was another thing that kind of bothered me was that, like my neighbor, she was a really young girl. And I remember when I started modeling, a magazine had come out with, you know, my editorial. And she was asking me, like, how do you get this skinny?
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of rubbed me the wrong way because it was like, oh, man, it's not. I'm going kind of against the grain. I'm doing this for my job, my work. It's not really for me,
right?
You know? And so, and of course, I'm not going to tell her what I did to get there because it was awful.
All unhealthy.
You know,
like
it was
what?
Super unhealthy. Oh my gosh. Like I went through, you know, anorexia and bulimia. It's totally common in the modeling world. Even in this industry, there's so many pressures on for people to look a certain way.
Right.
And I think some people get caught up in that. I know I certainly did because I had to fit a certain number like of measurements or I wouldn't get the job or I wouldn't get signed with the agency. And so that opened my eyes to where I was like, okay, hold on a second. Am I doing this for me or is it literally just the money or what is it?
Yeah, or living up to other people's expectations of beauty. Or,
right.
Yeah.
And then you lose yourself in the whole mm-hmm. part of this whole thing. And again, then you don't really have the nutrition in your body to realize like what you're doing is you're depriving yourself of so many things, like so many beautiful things in life.
Right.
And not food is not everything, but it is what keeps you alive. It is something.
Yeah. Food's not everything, but enjoying life and relaxing a little bit and giving yourself that little leeway.
Yeah.
And not being so hard on yourself all the time is something very important, especially during the formative years when people are trying to create their identity and then all of a sudden they find themselves aspiring. And I do believe aspiring is an important thing to say, oh, I want to be just like this person and learn using them as your mentor.
Right.
But in some cases, that's not your body shape. If that's not what you were meant to look like, then it's so hard to try to, you know, literally starve yourself to the point where you look
I think
look that you want, you know?
Yeah, just do what makes you happy and try.
Right.
I feel like just try not to be anybody else. You are who you are. You're put on this earth for a reason and just do what makes you happy. Don't chase something that, you know,
I totally
doesn't
agree.
Need to be chased.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
So what is your definition of beauty?
Oh, gosh. There's so many definitions of beauty, really. But I think it's simple. I think it's happiness. You know, it's like the little things about, you know, going to the beach and having the sand in my hair and the water and just having it be crinkly and the smell and everything. I don't think it's really a physical appearance, or to me, it doesn't feel like a physical appearance. Mm-hmm. It's more the happiness behind things and how you can make other people happy. And something that I grew up with that my grandma kind of instilled in my head was that looks fade. Right. And when I heard that, and obviously she's much older than me, when I saw that, and then she'd show me pictures of when she was younger and how she is now. I mean, she's still mm-hmm. a beautiful human.
Right.
But that really woke me up and spoke to me. And I was like, looks do fade. It's really, it all comes from within.
Right. It comes from your relationships. It comes from your ability to enjoy life. And
yeah,
I mean, obviously beauty, conventional beauty is always going to be something people aspire to. Everyone wants to be beautiful.
It's right.
Very much a part of all of our society, you know, and that's why the beauty counter and the beauty industry is huge and all that.
Right.
So beauty is something that has been pursued and I think will continue to be pursued. But you, as you grow up, you start to think about beauty in a different way. Like, how do you laugh? How easy are you? How funny are you? How yeah. loyal are you? Like, there's a different beauty, I think.
There's so many definitions.
Yeah, that can come out from, evolve from that initial just appearances thing. And then there's a deepening of it.
But also, like, I think it's beautiful to see, you know, laugh lines on people's faces. I know people like to erase them, and it's amazing, beautiful either way.
My patients are not happy about their laugh lines.
Beautiful either way, but I just feel like when I meet somebody that has laugh lines, it's like a lot of character. I'm like, oh, that person laughed a lot in their life. They smiled a lot. They, you know, they had a lot of fun times. I like to think that anyway.
Yeah. No, your lines are directly a result of what expression you make over and over. So definitely... Right. People that smile a lot will have more, maybe like crow's feet, more smile lines this way. And then the people that frown all the time might have like a little bit more downturn.
Yeah.
Corners of their mouth. And sometimes even people who are in their, you know, late 20s or mid 30s, like pretty young relatively, right. will say, they'll come in and they want to do filler to make something look better. And I say to myself, not to them, but I'm telling you now on my podcast, like maybe if you weren't so... miserable looking or angry looking. Like, you know, sometimes they think they're going to do an injection or a filler in these little shadows and that's going to change them. But what right. needs to change is their outlook or their demeanor. Like, you know, their
perspective,
like, you know,
life.
Most of my patients are always laughing. So I'm just saying, but sometimes someone will come in and I'm like, I can do filler, but that's not going to change because you're scowling all the time. You got to stop scowling,
right.
smile more, you know?
Yeah.
Because people approach happy people are magnetized to happy, energetic people, and people are deterred from like people that are like sourpuss face.
Right.
And Botox
won't fix your energy inside.
Yeah, your energy that you're putting out there. Yeah.
The physical appearance.
It'll soften some lines. It might boost your mood and your confidence, but it's not going to completely change your chemistry as far as like how you express yourself or how you come across to people.
Right.
That's an inside job.
If it did, that would be amazing. Like just a little Botox and you're like, oh my God, I feel everything is great.
Okay, well, you know, Azuma and I just said that, but then the truth of the matter is there have been studies done on Botox versus placebo.
Yeah.
And people who couldn't frown because they actually did get Botox felt happier.
That makes sense.
Yeah, felt happier very, very consistently. And dramatically than the people who got placebo. So there might be a little bit of place for cosmetic procedures where you just unleash the happy.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about the people that come in like looking
just sad and
so
just like,
angry and sad. Like, and then they're going to do a little something. And then I'm like, okay, well, I don't know if this is enough like to turn everything around, you know.
It probably makes them more happy though.
Like, at least better.
They're like, I need to look better. So therefore, I will smile from then on out.
Yeah, I will smile when I feel more confident or
better.
I mean,
I'm always happy when I see you.
Thank you. But, you teach Zumba. Did you know I taught every kind of aerobics class all through college and med school.
Did you really?
Even in med school, I taught class.
Were you like a trainer?
Yes, I was a trainer.
That's amazing.
I was a trainer. I taught also step and spinning and those are the two main things.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I talked Zumba for 5 years.
Yeah.
when I first moved down here, I was 18. I needed a job. So I was constantly working at the YMCA and I was in a couple of different fitness classes. And one of the, the group coordinators came in and mm-hmm. she was watching me do the Zumba class. And she came up to me and she was like, "Hey, do you want to teach Zumba?" And I was like, "This?" I was like, "I don't think I could do it. Like, I'm a very tall white girl that like can't really keep her hips on swivel, you know?"
Yeah.
And so she offered me a job and she was like, "We'll pay for your training. We'll pay for your certification. We'll get you all certified." And I was like, "Well, this is great. I get to, you know, do fitness, have a free membership basically and do Zumba." And so I got really into it. Like I love Zumba. It was so much fun. Like doing salsa and stuff.
And she said she can't dance.
It's all a lie. I can dance lies. Now.
Because then when we go to do the TikTok, she's going to already know the whole dance and everything. And then
you're going to kill it. And I'm just going to be like, "What was that move again?"
No, apparently not. You're holding out on me.
Oh, man. But yeah, I immediately got more flexible in like my hip stomach region. And yeah. I was able to like swivel more, you know, not like Shakira. Not like that. She's amazing.
I know. She is amazing. I just took a belly dancing class when I went to Miraval and they do the whole hip. Everything's about your hips.
Yeah, it is. It is.
When it comes to belly dancing. Ugh. Wow.
I took one belly dancing class and it was so embarrassing. Like, I just couldn't do it. It was just like doing this. And the woman was like, "Don't do that. Like, keep it all relaxed." I was like, "I don't know how to keep this relaxed." Like, I was like a newborn. I was like a newborn baby deer trying to like walk. She's like awkward.
I'm a high strung filly. I don't do the relaxed thing. No, I'm just kidding. No, I bet you could. I bet you could. So I want to have you spin the wheel.
Ooh.
I'm going to ask you some questions.
Let's do it. I'm nervous. You're not going to make me eat anything weird, are you?
Oh, that would be fun. We should add that.
Oh, no. I just give her an idea.
We should add that.
If it's jelly beans,
the yucky jelly beans.
Yeah. Oh, if it's yucky, I won't do it. But if they're good jelly beans.
There's some, like a whole line of yucky jelly beans. Aren't there?
Yeah, there's like a Harry Potter one. It's like puke flavor.
Yeah, puke flavor.
Why would you do that? Who wakes it's up fun in the morning to watch and is like, "I love puke"?
Well, I don't want to eat it myself, but I would want to make you eat it if you got on that, landed on that wheel.
I hope you don't do this for future people.
Do you like Harry Potter? Yes, I'm going to.
I do. I'm sorry to everyone, all the guests that are
future guests.
I'm so sorry.
Be ready. Be ready for your snot flavored jelly bellies. Or what is it? Vomit flavored.
Vomit flavored.
I'm very excited.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, Jessica. Tall girl for life.
Oh, man.
Okay, so I'm going to have you spin the wheel.
Okay.
You have to. Well, there you go. That works.
That
works.
Is that fine?
Oh, I asked you. Did I ask you this? You mm-hmm. told me who inspires you?
Who inspires me? At the moment, it's Will Smith.
Oh, I
Why
do love him.
Why is he so amazing? He just did his movie, King Richard. That was amazing. Obviously, that's like a very inspirational story. But he also did this thing called The Best Shape of My Life.
Yes.
And it was a YouTube series. And oh my gosh, that guy and his willpower and just determination, mm-hmm. he's just jumping off the tallest buildings in Abu Dhabi and shit. Oh, sorry, yeah. I probably can't.
That's
cuss.
Okay. We've already established that we're going to cuss on this podcast. And we apologize in advance.
That takes guts. Like that, he looks fear in the face and just was like, "What do you want from me?" And he just does it.
Yeah.
That's so inspirational. It's so inspiring for me. And yeah, I definitely, when I saw The Best Shape of My Life, I was like, I got to get my A game going because this guy's like training every day.
Yeah.
Like, he's just amazing.
I love Will Smith. I listen to his quotes. I tell a quote, like an inspirational quote every morning on Instagram.
Yeah.
And they often end up being from Will Smith. And I watched an interview about why he did getting into The Best Shape of His Life publicly. Why did he do the photo shoot with his big belly and publicly do it? And it was so interesting that he said, because I do better when people are watching me.
Under pressure.
I'm under pressure or I'm being held accountable.
Right.
And I totally resonate with that. I feel like some people do better when they're being observed doing something. They do a better job or they can perform better or want to. And if you're unobserved and sort of nobody even knows you did anything, or you're privately going along your journey, there are some people who do well with that, but not me. I like to share my journey. And that's probably why I'm more active on social media, because, or I even have a podcast, because sharing is very fulfilling to me. And I think Will Smith loves to inspire people.
Yeah. So good at it.
He's so good.
He's amazing. And you look great with a belly. Like, Will Smith never looks bad.
No. Like, but now he looks better.
I know. Now he looks great.
Now he looks better. You can't deny. Well, and then also it's for health. You have to think about, we always talk about exercise for the sake of beauty and looking good. And I think that's the primary motivating factor.
Right.
And then you have to start thinking, like, health and being vibrant for a really long time is important.
Because also exercising, like, gives you endorphins.
Yes.
Like, and it just makes you feel better and energetic.
Mm-hmm. Makes you feel more energetic. Your heart's healthier. Your brain works better when you have good blood flow.
Have you ever done cryo-freeze?
No. Have you?
Oh, my gosh. It's amazing. Yes. It's like, I mean, this sounds terrible. I mean, when somebody pitched this to me, I was like, no.
Yeah.
No. But basically, you stand in a freezer.
Yeah.
And it goes to, I think it's like a negative 150 or something crazy. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you're in there for like 2 to 3 minutes or something.
Yeah.
And what it does is it like repairs your, it basically like freezes your muscles, ice your muscles. Uh-huh. It's basically like taking an ice bath without having to sit in the water. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, I'm like, that's way better. Because I was a runner. I'd run a lot. I still do, but I would run like half marathons and marathons. And afterwards, like the recovery process and even the training process, you're like, this sucks. Right. Everything aches, everything hurts. But then when I would do cryo freeze, literally the next day I could go run again. But it also, I mean, it recovers your muscles. It also, helps you burn calories because your body's fighting to stay warm. So obviously it's producing a lot of energy to keep you warm. But you got to try it. It's amazing. And then the cool thing is just a recovery time. Like, you literally go as hard as you want to the next day.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
I'm definitely going to try it. I in the old days, Jack LaLanne used to take ice baths.
Jack LaLanne, I know.
Jack LaLanne.
I loved him.
He would dunk himself into freezing water after, and then hot water, and then freezing water, something like that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. But
good
I'm
for
glad,
them, though.
I mean, they're glad it.
Yeah. That's ballsy, too.
I might go into that cold thing for like 30 seconds, maybe, because I am literally always cold. Like, my fingers are ice cold. My toes are cold. I'm always cold. Yeah. You too, and you still go in there?
I was just like, well, mentally, usually they'll have like a song. They'll be like, pick your favorite song out. So I always put on like Bruno Mars, something like super happy and uplifting and like funky. So I'm like dancing in it, so it gets my mind like off
the
cold
fact
I
that
am.
You're freezing.
But there's
yourself.
This guy named Wim Hof, whose nickname is like the Iceman. And he literally like goes in the like a freezing pond. He'll like poke a hole from one end to the next end. There'll be a hole here and a hole here.
Oh God.
And he'll swim and he'll just go up and he's not shaking or shivering or anything. I'm just like, how is this? I mean, his name is the Iceman. He could do anything. It's crazy. So anyway, try cryo.
I think you should walk
it's
over.
It's better than ice ponds.
I think you should walk over hot coals and then plunge into the ice bath.
I would do that.
Just as like a contrast thing.
Right. Would your feet?
Because doesn't that Tony Robbins have that thing where you have to walk over the hot coals?
Yes.
Like, you do his thing and then you walk over the hot coals. But do you get blisters or no?
I don't. I guess you have to be like Speedy Gonzalez and like go as fast as you can.
But you're not supposed to go fast.
Oh, you're not?
Are you? I don't know. Does anyone know? Call us. Our number is
555-555.
That's right. 555-5555. No, but seriously, have you ever seen those commercials where they say, if you've been injured, call us.
Call the accident attorney.
Yeah. I go, oh my God. How am I going to remember this phone number? Anyway.
I always have those commercials stuck in my head.
I know.
Instead of singing regular songs, I'm always singing like attorneys' songs,
the jingles off the radio.
God. It's so annoying.
That means it worked.
It does work.
It's an earworm. Here you go. Spin. Oh, that's the second time.
Oh, gosh.
We went on. Okay, truth or dare?
Oh,
no.
Gosh.
Spin. I don't have any dares for you.
All right. Wait, third time's a charm.
Derm definition. Ooh. That's a mean one.
Do it. What is it?
Okay, I'm going to say a word and you're going to tell me what you think it means.
Okay.
Derm definitions. Notalgia parasthetica.
It's when you're very nostalgic about your past appearances in life. Is this very a disease? Good. What is this?
It's like a little pinched nerve above your scapula that makes the one part of your back itch. A lot of people have it where they always want to rub their back against the door. But you did such a good job.
Thank you.
How about...
How common is that? Is that pretty common?
It's very common.
Oh, geez.
And it's only on one side of your spine and you just always rub your back against like the door jamb or something like that. And a lot of times people have like a little brown patch, a paraspinal patch, because just from constantly rubbing that one.
Oh,
thing.
No.
And there's no rash. It's just a pinched nerve.
That sounds so awful.
I know.
Well,
it's not
worst.
One of the worst things we have.
That's true.
But in dermatology, we have some stuff. Well, what other thing can we make you define? No, I'll be easy on you. Spin the wheel again.
Oh, gosh. It's going to be truth or dare. Here we go.
No, is it going to go to truth or dare? Oh, no.
Okay, wait, hold on. That's a good spin.
Oh, okay. My goodness. We need a new thing. Free association. That's my favorite.
What is this?
A free association means I say something and you just say whatever you think of when I say that. Like you just have to say.
It just has to make sense to me.
One word that just comes straight to mind the second I say the word.
Okay.
Ready? Contour.
J-Lo.
Collagen.
Puffy.
Lipstick.
Makeup.
Opera.
Singers. And what's his name? Bocelli. Andrea Bocelli.
Andrea Bocelli.
I can't even say his name.
Not Pavarotti.
Pavarotti, of course.
Okay, Reading.
Hometown.
Aww. Scorpio.
You.
I am a Scorpio. Scorpio's kind of intense people.
I like it, though.
Like,
I like your intensity. It's good. It keeps me alive.
Oh, I love it. Okay, Vine.
The past.
Comedy.
Oh, man. The future. Comedy is the best.
Okay, so tell me, for your thing that you're doing, your project that you have a Kickstart, you said it's Kickstart?
Yeah.
How do we find it?
It's not even up yet, but it will be soon. I don't know how I would be able to pitch it, but maybe just search my name in the Kickstarter engine when we get it going. It'll probably go in the next month. We just finished shooting it last week. So now it's the editing process. And I know my boyfriend who is editing it as well is like, I need to step back from this, let it marinate.
And then go back and look at it.
And then go back and look at it. So we're doing it like step by step. But yeah, I think maybe just search for my name on the Kickstarter.
Yeah, we'll follow Jessica M. Cook on Instagram and then she'll probably announce it on there. No?
Yes, I will definitely announce it on there.
Yeah. And plus, it's fun if you follow her. She's really fun.
Oh, thanks.
So, what's your favorite inspirational quote?
Here we go. This one, I love
this one.
Did
you hear that? She sang.
I don't even know what note that was. That was the un note.
Go ahead.
It's this. The greatest risk of all is not taking one.
That's a good one.
It was my senior yearbook quote, and I've lived by it ever since. And I don't even know who says that. I don't know who I'm quoting, but whoever said it, good job.
Yeah.
But it literally just kind of, again, it makes me try different things and just kind of put fear aside.
Mm-hmm.
Because fear gets in the middle of everything sometimes if you let it. And if you don't take risks, you're just going to be in the same lane your whole life. You're not going to develop as a human. You're not going to do different new experiences and grow. And so, just take risks, man. Just go all in. Go balls to walls.
Balls to the wall. Even if you don't have them.
Even if you don't have them, just do
it.
You
can just
rub up against the wall. Just
like
do
you
it.
Could put boobs to the wall or something.
Boobs
like
to the walls.
Some part,
balls to the walls.
Balls. Who comes up with these sayings anyway?
I don't know. I love it though.
But I do love it. And I do believe that fear is something that we need to actively try to overcome, recognize. And sometimes it comes in the form of anxiety. Sometimes it comes in the form of just sort of a low grade reticence to do anything, because like you get in this box where if I go too far to the right, I might make a mistake. Someone
start
might
doubting yourself,
make fun of me, or I self-doubt. And I say even to like really young people and even to myself, like someone might make fun of you. So what? Like someone might make fun of you. And then are you going to die from that?
No.
Or someone might think whatever you said or did was stupid, but are you going to die from that?
Right.
And even public speaking is something I had to come around to. I was remembering like 10 years ago when I was going to give a talk at a meeting in front of a bunch of doctors, how nervous I would get.
And that would make me so nervous.
I would get really nervous. And then I would take propranolol, which is like a beta blocker, a tiny dose that keeps your heart from racing too much.
Yeah.
So that's like the stage fright drug.
Right.
But really, you're still terrified, but your heart's just not pounding like it would.
Going crazy.
And
right.
Now I can't fathom taking anything. Like, I love getting on stage and it doesn't bother me one bit. So you can grow intentionally. You can put yourself out of your comfort zone, nudge yourself out and grow intentionally and become less fearful.
Yeah.
And then you realize, yeah, sometimes you do something and people criticize you or make fun of you. Let's say on TikTok or let's say on social media, or even sometimes they might personally tell you, I don't like what you're doing, and it might hurt your feelings. And yeah. Then you just have to decide, like,
do I brush it off?
How much do I care what this particular person is saying, right?
Yeah, no, exactly.
And am I going to stop because, oh, yeah,
of
that's
what
true.
What this person thinks? Or,
yeah. And depending on who it is, you might stop. You might say, oh, I don't want to do this because actually that gives me some insight. Or you might be like, no, that hurts. Ouch. I'm not going to stop.
Right?
I'm not dead.
Won't
you know,
stop, don't stop.
Yeah, I won't stop, don't stop. I'm not going to stop. And if you don't like it, sorry. But,
yeah.
You know, so that's one of the things that I grew into over time. And I wish people knew at a younger age. I think people have unnecessary suffering and unnecessary sort of self-limiting behavior, like just to make sure they don't get criticized. But guess what?
Just live your life.
Yeah, live your life.
Make mistakes.
Make
some
mistakes.
Take those risks. I mean, some of them are going to be great. Some of them are going to be awful. But I feel like at the end of the day, it's all a learning experience.
Yeah.
So just do it. Just do you.
Just do you. And fear of criticism. Like you could do nothing and be criticized for doing nothing.
Right.
So
you're going to be criticized
going
no matter
around,
how you look at it.
Yeah, going around trying to like be small enough to have no one say anything to you is a very hard way to – it's much harder than taking risks, I think. So
yeah.
I encourage people to just recognize it and just go. Just go.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Go for the gold.
Go for it. Tall girls for life.
Tall girls for life.
We're wearing red.
We are.
We're here at the Dr. Beauty Podcast. Mm-hmm. It's me, Anna Guanche, and Jessica Cook. And we match because we're the tall girls for life. And if you wish to be a hashtag tall girls for life, you can apply for the position.
You can try out. People that are 5'8 and above.
Yeah, 5'8 and above.
That's brunette. Reasonable, right? That's tall. Brunette. You get really specific. Has to have blue or green eyes.
Blue or green eyes. And if you're not very tall, heels are acceptable.
They are.
Stiletto heels with platforms are fine. So you can
lifts,
apply.
Those are fine as well.
And
that's
what?
Like old school. Lifts.
Which one?
Like
you can wear lifts.
You put them in your shoe.
Yeah. I mean, we're not exclusionary. I mean, we're...
No. But you just have to be tall. So
just that's it.
That's it.
It's so rude. I don't even know how we came up with this.
I don't know either. I have no idea. We were amazed
just
of how tall we were.
Yeah, we're goofy.
We're just goofballs.
Well, I'm so glad you joined me today on the Dr. Beauty Podcast.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Thank you. And thanks for listening in, babies.
Yeah.
Bye, babies.